leaned over to Brother Daniel during singing and confessed that I don't think I've ever heard better singing in the house of God than I've heard this weekend. Until the next time I hear better singing in the house of God. Also had the thought of the at least my inability to explain. It's a beautiful sight, Brother Sonny.
Yes, sir.
My inability to explain to someone who hasn't experienced this what
it is
we experience.
Yeah.
Because they just say, oh, you went to church. And then they say, you went to church from Thursday night to when? And they don't understand it.
They don't.
I wish they did.
Yeah.
And I think the best admonition we have for those that would question it and their sincerity in it, come and see.
Amen.
Come and see. Don't know what the Lord might do. Come and see. For time's sake, I will not. No, that's a lie. How much we love you. And how appropriate I believe the name of this church is. Because it is a Bethel spot.
Amen.
I need your prayers this morning. Because Brother Jonathan ruined me. Brother Jonathan, I think you got up here and said wasn't what was on your mind was what you preached about. And I'm thankful for the faithfulness of the ministry and following the Spirit,
amen,
no matter how frightening that
it
is.
Brother Mark, it is.
So I stand in fear not of you, but in a thrice holy God, that what has entered my mind is of him.
Yes,
because I don't want it to be of me. Because it won't be anything if it's of me. But if it's of him, then he'll bless it to his name, and then he'll bless you with the blessings that only he can give. I did think of one text that I think if you wanted to encapsulate what we've heard is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
What Brother Blakely preached to us about this morning, a greater than Solomon is here. And I appreciate the ground that he covered. It's rich ground, and it resonated with me, and it fed my soul, and it lifted my spirit, and trust and hope that you'll continue to pray as I stand before you. I'd like to go to the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses has just finished blessing the tribes of Israel. Moses is about to die on Mount Nebo at the top of Pisgah. And he blesses the tribes of Israel with very rich blessings. I encourage you to read the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. And look at the differences in the blessings of Jacob to his sons and Moses to the tribes of Israel, but also look at the comparison and see what's different, what changed, and how beautiful they are in their own right and how beautiful that they are together. But Moses finishes his final sermon to the children of Israel with a blessing to God. There is none like under the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? If I have a text this morning, that's it. Happy art thou, O Israel, and who is like unto thee? When you, as the people of God, assemble together in the house of God, it should be an assembly of happiness.
Yeah.
It should be a place of the greatest joy that we could ever experience in this time world.
Amen.
And Moses, in blessing Israel with such, he says, happy are ye, O Israel, and who is like unto thee? Brother Jonathan preached about a greater than Solomon being here.
Yeah.
Well, who is like unto thee? So I ask you a question this morning. Who is like unto you? And I submit to you that in this world, there is none like unto thee.
That's right.
However, we must be clear and understand that we are both happy and we are who we are not because of us. We are who we are not by our own merits. We are not the church because we decided we would be the church. We didn't conjure the Spirit, pardon me for using that word, but it's fitting. We did not conjure the Spirit to come down and dwell in our midst. We have not the right to demand of God to bless us with His presence. And yet, there is none like unto thee. But he explains it, doesn't he? O people saved by the Lord. So, we are who we are because we're saved by the Lord. Now, I'll echo Brother Jonathan. I'm not talking to the entire elect family of God sitting here in this church house. I like that. If it weren't, it wouldn't even be enough for a bass section, and that'd be sad, Brother Jonathan, if you ask me. But I'm talking to an ecclesia this morning. I'm talking to a called out. I'm talking to those who are happy in the Lord. And I'm talking to those who are like none else. But it's still because the Lord God of Israel has saved you, and I trust has saved me from the hope that wells up in my heart from time to time. That the realization of the Lord that has worked in you a good work, and He'll see it through, that it's by virtue of that realization that we come into God's house, not in any demanding way, but in a way of Lord help. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now, I realize Moses, this is his last chance to encourage Israel in what they're about to have to do in Canaan's land, right? Under the leadership of Joshua, and that's to conquer the land of Canaan. And they did. And if you want to see some really exciting things, read the book of Joshua and watch how God worked among them, fought their battles for them. And finally, after about 5 or so years, they found rest in the land. That God had promised Abraham
a long time ago.
All those years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing like the God of Jeshua.
Amen.
The Lord didn't play things by ear, right? You know what that means, right?
Right.
Always saying that. Sister Carol will say, what do you want to do? I said, let's just play by ear. You know what that means? Let's just see what happens. We'll go and we'll see what happens. Sometimes that works out really well. Sometimes it doesn't work out well at all. God didn't decide in Genesis chapter 12. I'm not going to preach on Abraham, but I've got to touch on him since we're here. God didn't decide in Genesis chapter 12 that, you know what, I think I'm going to come up with a promise and I'm going to find this fellow named Abram and we're going to strike a deal. That's not what God did. That's not how my God works, and that's not how your God works.
Amen.
No, but before the world was ever formed, that everlasting covenant was ordered in all things and sure in the Godhead and in the Godhead alone.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 12, God said, it's time to show the promise. And he called to Abram in the land of Ur. And he said, get thee out. You get out of the land of your kindred. You get out of your father's house, you get out of the land of your people, and you go to a place that I'll show you. Now, there's one thing I've never done. Whenever I leave the house, we always have a destination in mind. I know where I'm going. But when God called Abram out of the land of Ur, he says, you're going to go to a place that I will show thee. But he didn't show him then.
Right.
He just said, get out. It's time to walk. And I love verse 3. So Abram departed.
Amen. Right.
Faithful Abraham, right?
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Hewlin. Abraham, dwelling in tents with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11. Years later, the promise is seen in his son Isaac, right? The fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, thou shalt have a son. First, he just said, thou shalt have a son. After Abraham tried to help out, he said, thou shalt have a son with Sarah. Did you ever notice that? I don't necessarily think that Abram lost faith in God, and so they said, well, let's see, we'll do it this way. Brother Jerry Anstey, he blessed me with something that I never thought of before, but he said, have you ever thought that when Abraham and Sarah talked about Hagar and having a son because of Sarah's age, that they thought, this is how God's going to do it? That's a great thought. And so that's what they did. And they made a mess of things, right? It's what happens when we think, well, this is probably how God wants us to do this. We make a mess of things. And then God appeared to him again and said, Sarah is going to have a son. Promise was fulfilled. Years later, they're in Moriah. He's got a blade raised in the air about to take the life of this promised seed, Isaac. And his hand was stayed. Now, we're not going to get into all that, even though I want to. Go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17, 18, and 19, and you'll see what took place there. Then I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to see the fulfillment that happens there. It's because it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Amen.
What does that mean? Jesus Christ clarifies exactly what that means in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. What does he say? When that he's arguing with the Pharisees, let me rephrase that. When the Pharisees are arguing with him and he's responding to them, and they were getting really upset because he kept going back to your father Abraham, and he said, finally he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Happy are ye, O Israel. So Jesus Christ clarifies what Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews quite a few years before Paul even wrote the book of Hebrews. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. But then he says that same obtaining of the promise is to us too, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He saw my day. He rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad.
Right.
Now let me ask you this. Have you seen the day of Christ?
Yeah.
I believe I have.
Amen.
I believe I've seen the day of Christ this weekend.
Yeah.
I believe I've seen the day of Christ in the raising of voices up, in the sweetest sounding praise that I believe that we have within us by the Spirit of God, that I've seen the day of Christ. I believe that when the humble prayers are offered and prayed, that I've seen the day of Christ. And when these preach brethren are blessed by the Spirit of God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that I've seen the day of Christ. And you know what that does to me? It makes me happy.
Amen.
It makes me happy.
Absolutely.
I don't come to church to get sad.
Right.
Oh, now don't get me wrong. Sometimes we've got to, you know, Paul talks about reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I understand sometimes there's things that need to be said. But when they're said in the Spirit of God, even when your toes are getting stomped on, like mine has so many times, you're still happy because you're seeing the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in the preaching of the gospel. And I like to be happy. I like your story about your grandmothers. I like to be happy. Am I always happy? Absolutely not. But the promise is to Israel. Happy are ye. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ that we have today is, how can I put this? Brother Jonathan talked about that a greater than Solomon is here. He talked about the Queen of Sheba going down and saying the half was not told me.
Right.
And he says a greater than Solomon is here. Well, I submit to you that a greater kingdom than Solomon's kingdom
is here.
Is here.
Amen.
And it stands because of her king, who sits on an everlasting throne and rules and reigns in that kingdom today.
Amen.
Now, the beauty of that, now, I'll tell you this. I love to travel. We went to Colorado a couple weeks ago for the Rocky Mountain Fellowship meeting. We went up a few days early. We went to see a bunch of different things, and I love doing that. I love seeing God's creation. Somebody talked about New York City. I've been to New York City, and I was like one of those tourists, Brother James, just, you know, up and down. And they say, don't do that, because then they mark you as a tourist, and then, you know, you're toast. I love to travel, and I love to see things. I mean, we've talked about the trips that we're trying to, thinking about, praying about, trying to take to go see things.
There's no trip,
Amen, brother. But I'm telling you what, you ever get homesick?
Yeah.
You think only children get homesick? You're wrong. I get homesick.
Yeah.
We'll go out and be forgotten. And finally, I'll say, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to sleep in my bed.
Right. Right.
Ready to put my head down on my pillow.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
I'm homesick. Brothers and sisters, that's the way I feel. Every time I leave the house of God, it's as I immediately walk out of the door and I already have that sickness in my heart.
Yeah.
Knowing that I'm walking away from the greatest people that have ever set foot on this low ground of sin and sorrow, save the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That I walk away and I immediately think I'm ready to go back. And I love coming to McMahon, Texas. I love coming here. It's McMahon, Brother Jonathan, not McMahon. I love coming to McMahon, Texas, and I love coming to look at the scenery. We talk about how beautiful it is. And I walk on the grounds, and memories overwhelm my mind. Of men that have filled this pulpit that are no longer among us. But I tell you what, all of that starts to fade into the background.
Yes.
When you walk in the door and you see the people of God. And we got here Thursday night, and the first song started being sung, and my ears rang with the voices of the saints who are happy.
Yeah.
There is nothing in this world that should, and yes, I put the word should, that should get us down the way it oftentimes does.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm talking about me. There shouldn't be anything out there that would steal my joy, but there is. Because I let it. But I'm telling you what, when you walk back into the house of God, whether it's in McMahon, Texas, whether it's in Snyder, Texas, Dallas, whether it's in somewhere, whether it's a heart, the pride of the heartland, Brother Doug, wherever it is, you walk into the house of God, and if the Lord bless you, those things start washing away as well. And if when we're blessed to come in, as we should, and take the low seat.
Yeah.
I've oftentimes said that if I could just sit outside the walls and listen, that's more than I deserve.
Yeah.
But I humble myself, and not, that's, you know what I mean, right? I humble myself, I come in, and I sit down, and I'm praying that the Lord would be praised that day. And then I hear his voice say, come up higher. What are you doing down here, Mark? Come up higher. I've got a place set just for you. I've got a seat at my table that's got your name on it.
Yeah.
Now I want you to come up, and I want you to come over here, and I want you to sit down.
Yeah.
And I'm made to feel like Mephibosheth. Though lame that I am because of my sin, yet I have been blessed by the Lord God of all glory to sit at the master's table and partake of that which he blesses me with. And though undeserving that I am, oh, I'm happy when that happens.
Amen.
I'm happy. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, we have something that this world is ignorant of.
Yeah. Yeah.
This something that the devil himself would like for nothing but to destroy it.
Yeah.
But I submit to you this morning that I don't care what the virus is. I don't care what the politics are. I don't care what the pride and prejudice might be. I don't care what the world might say. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Lord's church.
Yeah. Yeah.
and it shall stand. The Lord himself said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
There's nothing, Brother Luke, that will prevail against the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are we concerned? Do we have concern about the church? Sure, we need to be concerned.
Yeah.
Are we worried? Be careful. Yeah. We ought not be worrying, right? Everybody's going, right, Mark. Captain Worry. But I'm working on it. You know, one day, I'll have that down pat. And that's when I breathe my last. Because at that point, there'll be no worries or concerns. But we're concerned, aren't we? We want to see the Lord's church flourish. You worried about that? I mean, there have been folks among the Primitive Baptists saying, we need to start changing some things of how we do stuff. We need to start doing this, that, and the other. I'll tell you what, you have fun with that where you are. Don't come out to Snyder, Texas with any of that. Or at Bethel, right? I'm telling you what, the Lord provided for his church exactly the way he established it. There's nothing that needs to be added, and absolutely nothing that needs to be taken away. And if you say, well, Brother Mark, it's just old religion and it's not encouraging to the youth, let me tell you something else. The worldly religions that they think are encouraging to the youth, they lose the youth when they get old and they lose interest in all the things that they've done. But I'm telling you what, when you look out across this congregation and you see old men and old women with the staves in their hands for very age, and then you see the little boys and the little girls playing in the streets thereof, all assembled together, just how the Lord set it up.
Amen.
Then, my friends, there is no cause for worry. And though we be concerned, we trust in the God of Jeshurun, who rides the high places and rides the tops of the heavenly hills, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm telling you what, we're trusting in that God, and we're resting in our King that's greater than any king, Solomon or otherwise, greater than any king that ever lived in this world, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one and only potentate, as Paul says. There is no higher authority than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, I'm also reminded of the second chapter of the book of Hebrews when it says, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. I'm telling you what, the way you had such good singing is because the Lord Jesus Christ is in his kingdom singing praises to God right along with you. Man, you think about that. You think about that. You think about the one who came into this low ground of sin and sorrow, born of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
You think about that holy thing that was born of her. You think about this man who lived among sinners, that he ate with sinners.
Yeah.
Thanks be unto God, he ate with sinners, right?
Yeah.
You think about this man who went alone. It says that Israel shall dwell in safety alone. We dwell in safety alone, because Christ went alone to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
You think about him who died for our sins. You think about him who became the sin bearer for us, who knew no sin, and imputed his righteousness to us as our sins were imputed unto him. You think about this one who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You think about this one whose body was taken down off that cruel Calvary's tree by Joseph of Arimathea, and yes, even Nicodemus. I don't see Brother Rick, but even Nicodemus, he showed up to take the body of Christ off the cross. And they put him in Joseph's new tomb. And I've said it before, and I've got nothing on which to base this, so you don't walk away here saying, Brother Mark said the Bible says this. No, this is Brother Mark's thoughts. You ever reckon that Joseph, I don't know how much a hewn tomb would cost. I don't know. I don't imagine it'd be cheap. You ever think Joseph was thinking in the back of his mind that if he heard about the Lord saying, 3 days I'll tear this temple down and raise it again, tear this temple down in a day and raise it again in three, that he thought, well, maybe he's just going to borrow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, whether he knew it or not, that's exactly what the Lord did. And when he shouted, "It is finished," and he commended his spirit back to God, that body was laid in Joseph's tomb for 3 days and three nights. Somebody mentioned Mary Magdalene, my favorite too. Somebody once said, well, the reason Mary Magdalene was at the cross and not any of the other disciples is because the Lord did so much for her. Well, in Luke chapter 8, he did a lot, right? I believe it says there were 7 spirits that he cast out of her. That's pretty good. He has done so much more for us. So much more. So much more. And he raised the third day. Yes, that Lord sits in the midst of his church and sings praises to God. That moves me to reverential fear and thanking the Lord is right here singing with us praises to his heavenly Father. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? There is none like. There is none like unto us. I've got to go to the book of Ruth. I've got to go to Ruth just for a few more moments, if you'll bear with me and continue to pray. You know, that is a beautiful picture. Ruth is a beautiful picture of me. And it's a beautiful picture of you. And it's a beautiful picture of how when the Lord blesses us, that our minds and our hearts are directed. You remember when they were in captivity? I think it's the book of Jeremiah when Israel was in captivity with Babylon. I think it's the prophecy of when they would return. It said, come, I'm not going to get it right, and I'm not sure where it is, but come and let's, basically they said, come and let's take an oath together and join arms and look toward Zion. You think they were ready to come out after 70 years? I believe they were. And they said, let's take a pact. Let's join arm in arm. Let's march out of this desolate land and go back to our home and start doing what we need to do in order to rebuild it.
Amen.
Here comes Ruth chasing after Naomi, refusing to go back. She's leaving. You talk about Abraham leaving the land of his kindred. Well, she's leaving the land of her kindred. She's coming out of a land called Moab. And you want to know about Moab? Go do some research. It's a bad place. Right? They did bad things in Moab.
Right.
And here she comes, and Naomi's bitter. And she says, go back. Your sister's gone back. Go back to your people and your gods. I think you sometimes think Ruth would just absolutely put out over what Naomi said to her. How dare you say that to me? But she didn't express that. But she did say, entreat me not to leave thee. You need to stop telling me to go back because I'm not going anywhere. That's Mark's version of chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Here's the Lord's version. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whithersoever thou goest, I will go. Wheresoever thou lodgest, I will lodge. And here's the clincher. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, if aught but death part thee from me. I think Ruth got the point. I'm sorry, Naomi got the point, right? I'm like Ruth. Where you go, I'm going. Where you lodge, better scoot over. Because I'm going to be there. Your people are my people. And your God is my God. I'm telling you what. I pray. I don't know how many years I got left, but I pray that when I breathe out my last, It's right after I got home from worshiping with the saints that I have worshiped with this weekend. And then bury me. And then don't worry. Don't worry. You've got a faithful God.
Yes, Lord.
Ruth chapter 2. She goes out to glean. Remember, I'm still Ruth. Are you? She goes out to glean. Boaz sees her. We all know what Brother David said was the first reaction to Boaz seeing Ruth, right? I believe it was Wowza.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, with
why? Yowza. Yes. Not Wow, Yowza. And that's appropriate because that's exactly what happened because he said, whose damsel is this? They said, it's Ruth. And he said, you know what? I've heard about her. Take it or leave it. I believe it was love at first sight.
Yeah.
You know why I believe that? Because the Lord loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen.
It was a love beyond first sight.
Yes.
It was the love of loves with which he loved us. And yet Boaz saw Ruth and he said, I've heard about her. And he approaches her and she bows down and says, you know, have grace or have mercy or no. Thy grace be upon me, or whatever it is. And he says, I'm going to put in my words because time's about gone. I'll put in my words. He says, I don't want you to go anywhere else. You stay in this field and abide fast by my maidens. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the Lord has no inclination for you to go anywhere else. He requires you here, standing fast by his maidens. But I'm telling you, if you think, well, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Have I not charged the men that they should not touch thee? He says, and you glean behind the reapers. And she says, why have I found grace in thy sight? I got to turn to it. Because his response to that question is absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. She said, verse 10, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. He says, I've heard everything that you've done. Well, I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, how many times do we sit in here and we think, I'm not doing anything that's worth anything in the house of God. And yet you're doing everything that God requires of you in his house. And he sees your faithfulness in his house as we rely upon his faithfulness.
Amen. That's good.
I'm telling you, the best thing we can do is what the songwriter said when he says, the best obedience of my hands dares not appear before thy throne, but faith can answer thy demands by pleading what my Lord has done.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we do what we do because we plead what the Lord has already done.
Amen.
And he says, I've heard about your work. Brother Mark, I can't sing that good. That's all right. You keep singing. Brother Mark, I stumble in my prayers. That's all right. You keep praying. Brother Mark, I just sometimes struggle when I try to preach. Join the club. One bad sermon does not a preacher destroy. Thank God. I tell you what, you can glean just as much from a bad sermon as you can a good sermon. You know why? Because the Lord is magnified whether it's bad or good. He knows. Thou hast searched me and known me. He knows. Brother Mark, he doesn't know. He just doesn't know how deep my valley has gone. Yeah, he does. He knows. Boaz knew how deep Ruth's valley went. Brother Mark, he doesn't know just how hard things have been in my life. Yeah, he does. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprising. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off. He says, you know, thou hast beset me behind and before. And then he says, whether shall I flee from thy presence? He says, if I ascend up into heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thou shalt lead me. In thy right hand, it shall uphold me. The Lord knows you. And it's not a fearful thing. Because if he knows me, he knows what I need. What did Ruth need? She needed comfort. Strange land, strange people, lost her husband. She needs comfort. So what does Boaz say? He says he knows about what she's done, leaving the land of her father and mother. Then in verse 12, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know what I see in that? I see this congregation gathered here, and I see the wings of the Lord coming out and covering this congregation. Amen. And blessing with manifold blessings of the Spirit. Yes. And we, through our trials and tribulations in life, understand, and then we find that we have come to trust beneath the shadow of his wings. Is that your case this morning? It's mine. It's mine. I've learned to trust him. I've learned to experience that. I've proved God. And I have not gone away wanting. I have reached my hand into the storehouse of his blessings and pulled out more than I could even ever begin to think I deserve. And yet his storehouse remains always full. It's never replenished, it's never depleted, and it's never gone dry. That's trusting underneath the Master's wings. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You trust him? Songwriter says, I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Yeah, we got to learn it. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be. We've got to learn it. But how do we learn it? By proving him. Have you proved him this weekend? I have.
Yes.
I didn't come expecting the Lord to bless. I didn't come thinking, well, he's going to bless because it's Bethel Church at McMahon. Or he's going to bless because it's the camp meeting.
Right.
You can't do that. Right, Brother Dave? You can't do that. But I came. But I came trusting.
Amen.
I came like little Ruth. Why have I found grace?
I don't know.
Why have I found grace in thy sight? Oh, it's because you've learned to trust beneath the shadow of his wing. You know, and that'd be enough, wouldn't it? But the Lord has more. She walked on to go and glean. But Boaz wasn't done.
He wasn't done. That's right.
He pulled his reapers aside and he said, let her glean. And then he says, you let fall some handfuls of purpose. You let fall what was intended for something else, but you make it intended for her. He lets fall some handfuls of purpose for me. Now, I don't know if Ruth understood. I know that she'd been taught some by her husband before he died, and certainly probably by her mother-in-law after her husband died, about these traditions and the ways of the law in this case. But what should have come back is just enough for one cake. Came back a lot more. So let fall some handfuls of purpose. I don't know what the reapers thought. I don't know if the boss has lost his mind. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to do what he said. I tell you what, the ministry better do what he says.
Amen.
Then he's not done. Then he turns back to her, I believe, and he says, "When it's mealtime, you come and sit at my table." Another table. Ruth sitting at the table of Boaz. Mephibosheth sitting at the table of King David. You and I sitting at the table of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You come and feed at my table. Then he goes back and then he gives her the greatest gift, in my estimation, the greatest gift of all. You know what it is? Let her glean even among the sheaves. Well, why is that so good, Brother Mark? Well, number one, you don't have, if a guy like me, you don't have to bend down and pick up what the reapers have dropped, right? You walk into the sheaves. You know what the sheaves are? It's the last step before the threshing floor. And they're stacked and bound and ready to go. And you just walk in and it's like, please forgive me, it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? You just go back and go back. And here you pick them up. And here she is with her basket. And I mean, she's just, okay, I think this might be enough. This might be enough. You know, and she does all of that. Sometimes we know just how much the Lord bless us. Sometimes we don't know just how much the Lord has blessed us. Sometimes it takes our brother or sister to say, wow. So here she goes back. And I don't remember, I've looked it up before. I don't know how much. Here she goes back. She gets to the door. Naomi opens the door. And she doesn't say anything but this. She asks a question. Where hast thou gleaned today? Why'd she ask her that? Because what she had in her basket was a whole lot more than what she should have had in her basket.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, what we have in our basket is a whole lot more than what we deserve to have in our basket.
Amen.
We don't even deserve to have a basket of our own merits. But because of His merits, in whom we trust, we are blessed with more than we could ever imagine being blessed. Happy are ye, O Israel. Happy are ye. There is so much happiness in the fields of our Lord. There's many other places we can go. Solomon chapter 1, right? Where does thou cause thou flock to feed and to cause the rest at noons? If thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way therefore by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. We are blessed beyond measure. I trust that I'm a primitive Baptist today, not because my mom and dad were, even though that didn't hurt. But I trust I'm a primitive Baptist today because the Lord saw fit, because I found grace in His eyes. And I'm like Ruth. Why? How? And it's not you. It's Him.
Yes. Amen.
And He sees fit to fill your basket. How can we not be happy? May He richly bless and keep you is my prayer.
Amen.
We'd like to stand. Sing number 56. First two verses of number 56. There be any that desire to join.